Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
My defense, we're pretty much all finding out everything through social media. And if you're not paying attention, especially in the last 18 hours to the Brooklyn Nets news, you might have missed some pretty important developments. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and you can watch us on ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr. here, Janae Agwimike, going to be joining us in the 5 o'clock hour, like always. We are looking forward to that, looking forward to getting her back together, like I mentioned and like she mentioned. Both of us out in Los Angeles right now, got some things in the works, getting ready to start my life and career as a Los Angeles Sparks superfan. And in the meantime, get to enjoy being out here in sunny Los Angeles. And it was amazing, actually, with all the things going on in the NBA last night. I was leaving the studio here in Los Angeles after the game, watching everyone downtown in LA prepare for the Clippers game, which, boy oh boy, whatever fan support, cardboard cutout or otherwise, it has worked in Los Angeles for the Clippers as they've evened up that series. But I'm sitting around watching all the games that transpired yesterday. We got a ton to get into there. Paul George, who we have all held up and made jokes at the expense of and talked about playoff P and all that stuff, actually looked like the stopper last night, looked like the guy that everyone expected him to be. And so at some point, the credit's going to be due there, but the overwhelming majority of the credit for the Clippers is still going to go to one man who we will get to in a little bit. We've also got some things from the Sixers and Hawks series that it really highlight the most important, impactful player in the Eastern Conference right now. It is going to devolve to who is out there and healthy, and with one key piece in the East starting to show signs of wear and tear, it seems like it's going to change the course of this entire postseason. But speaking of changing the course of the entire postseason, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Because you guys remember a couple days ago after Game 4 between the Brooklyn Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks, Kyrie Irving goes down with an ankle injury in the second quarter of that game, leaves, we all see it, his ankle damn near touched the ground, and his head coach Steve Nash says, we're not sure about Kyrie Irving's status, we found out yesterday that he is out for Game 5. That's one thing. But the next thing Steve Nash said was, Kyrie Irving's status being out is not going to impact the timeline for James Harden. James Harden, who yesterday we were reading you reports from Malika Andrews that he was doubtful, that it looked like he was going to be out for Game 5. In my best SpongeBob, 3 hours later, has gone from doubtful last night to questionable today to now hopeful tonight, as the piece on ESPN.com by our ESPN NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski highlights. So it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, because, man, how did we end up here? It is, again, hard to look at this with the context of Steve Nash's quote and say that this didn't absolutely directly impact what we're looking at with James Harden here. For a lot of people, that difference of how we feel about this, how comfortable we are with the notion of James Harden, who, remember, went down in minute one of game one on June 5th in this series. It is currently June 15th right now. So in 10 days, we're to believe he's recovered from a hamstring injury? Not quite. Not going to believe it. We went through this same song and dance with Anthony Davis in the Lakers' first round series against the Phoenix Suns. 4 days enough for a groin? No, especially not for a guy in James Harden who missed 18 games with hamstring strain this season and two with hamstring tightness before that. So that's almost 20 games from the same right hamstring for James Harden over the course of this year before this series. A lot of people wondering. I saw our very own Kendrick Perkins wondering. I hope he's not being forced back early. I look at this situation, and I cannot believe that we would get this kind of swing. Like, man, if a team was going to bring him back early, I don't know if we ever would have gotten the doubtful yesterday. It would have been a steadier stream, a steadier timeline of this info, so that it was a little less of a jolt to our system right now. What this reeks of is James Harden doing what players do, wanting to be out there. Rachel Nichols, our great ESPN NBA host, pointed out James Harden's played in 94% of his career games for his teams. This is what he does. Now, I could sit here and tell you, like I always say, that it's the team's job to pull a player back from all this. The team's job to slow him down. In football, we always say it's the team's job to take the helmet away. But even yesterday when we talked about this, if James Harden was close, I always felt like this was going to be a go for him. And he had to be close in a meaningful way here, like make actual progress. Because remember how it went in the season. They thought James Harden was ready to come back. And then before he even made it back to the court, there was a setback in the rehab. Every time we've seen him out on the court when this is injured, it's not some overstretch. It's not him losing his balance, slipping on the court. It's run-of-the-mill basketball action. So do I think this is going to work out well? Man, I hope so. I don't want to be the one to even say it out loud here, but I could very much see this going the way Anthony Davis did for the Lakers, where James Harden goes, and man, you got to appreciate wanting to be out there for your team. But at some point, this a hamstring. And a lot like the things we talked about in the groin, when you got to push out, do the things that James Harden does, especially as the initiator for this offense, man, that's a lot to ask. After 10 days after going down with that injury, re-aggravating that something was already there. Told you when this all started, hamstrings only get better with time, and time is the last thing that they have. But the response is going to be really interesting. The response of the other teams are going to be interesting in all this. Now, we said it yesterday. Stephen A. Smith went on with the guys Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning and talked about what we brought up yesterday, that Kevin Durant, for all his greatness, might be the thing that should keep you from this situation at all, because Stephen A. went on with the guys this morning and pointed out the obvious. Someone that great should be able to buy you one in this series.
I don't think it's too much to ask for arguably the greatest scorer this game has ever seen in Kevin Durant to get us one game in Brooklyn. I don't think you can win the series without Kyrie. I don't think you can win the series without James Harden both. No question. Kevin Durant ain't going to beat the Milwaukee Bucks by himself for the series. But he should be able to get you game five. And if he can get you game five, then you can really rest, obviously, Kyrie, because he can't go, and possibly James Harden. At least one of them have a better possibility of winning game seven, because you damn sure going to lose game six back in Milwaukee. Mm. Get game five.
Let's get
AD. You should be able to get you one.
Chenangle Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Michael Jr. here with you guys. And I can understand that thought process of have the long view. We've talked about it for the season, for this team overall with these stars. But even for this series, you thought they'd give Kevin Durant a shot to go get one. Just buy as much time as you can, because we've seen in this injury-riddled playoffs that we'll get to a little bit later, any couple of days can make a world of difference with all this stuff. But I thought Jay Will brought up something interesting when he was on Bart and Hahn. You normally hear him on KJZ about what this does to the other side, because it is the less savory side of sports per se. And I don't mean what I'm going to say in a dirty way here, but anytime we were playing, when I was playing football, the minute you see, and this is why guys are so hesitant to do it at times, the minute I saw something taped up on a guy on the other side, whether it was an elbow or wrist that was extra taped, an ankle, something like that, the first thought is, all right, let's stress test this. Let's see how this goes. Let's see if there's a crack in the pipes here and see how this is going to hold up. Not saying you're diving at it, not saying you're going to do anything dirty, but you're going to push it physically. You're going to make sure they feel every bit of that weight. And Jay Williams was pointing that out earlier today on Bart and Hahn, how the Bucks are going to respond to this.
If James Harden's on the floor, if you're Drew Holiday, and this is what comparators do, Bart can tell you, like, I smell blood in the water. Like, I'm going to pick you up the full 94, feet of the court. I'm going to try to turn you. I'm going to test that hamstring. I'm going to see how conditioned you are. I'm going to push the tempo of the game. I'm going to try to get you tired quickly, considering you haven't been able to keep up with your conditioning for the past, week or so.
That's what it's going to look like. It's like when you see someone with a few fouls. If you get two fouls in the first half, get the ball, go right at him, see how this is going to work, especially defensively there. All of this, that, man, could you avoid it by letting KD try and go win you one? Letting Kevin Durant try and be the guy for one game. Bomani Jones was on Highly Questionable earlier today and said to us, we don't really have the Kevin Durant game. For all his greatness, for all we talk about him as the greatest player potentially on earth right now, getting back to where he was like 2017 Warriors, Kevin Durant, we don't have that one defining game that anyone really points to for him. Could you give him the opportunity to do that instead of James Harden getting out there? Yes, but this is a league where stars dictate the terms a lot of times. And I have to imagine that there is a lot of this, especially because of the quick turnaround, that is driven just as much by James Harden as it is by the team's desire to go out here and make sure it is not one man on an island, because they see the way the rest of that roster is built up too. But coming up next, And 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN is where you can get in touch with us on the Goodyear hotline. But coming up next, as we look back out west to what we've gotten at the beginning of this series, what we got at the end of last night, I should say, Kawhi Leonard put us all on notice, not only with the dunk heard around the world, but with what he said in the post-game press conference. We'll get to that next. Chenan Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Chenan and Golick Jr., the podcast.
So we're all officially on Harden watch today. I guess that's how this one is going to go. As Adrian Wojnarowski, our ESPN NBA insider, has spent the entire day dropping small Woj bomb after small Woj bomb about the status of one of the NBA's biggest stars heading into tonight. Chenan Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. with you. Ryan Rucco, play-by-play announcer, does a lot of great work covering that Nets team. Going to join us in about 10 minutes here. Get an update on not only what this hamstring means, if Harden is being rushed back here, but also what the effect is going to be like on the court right now. A less than 100% Harden going out with Kevin Durant, who, as he told everyone yesterday, was going to go out there and try and do everything like he always does. But good Lord, they are going to have some work topping what we saw last night. Because, yeah, the 76ers and the Hawks played an exciting game that we'll get to. But good God almighty, did you guys watch what Kawhi Leonard did to that poor man last night? That was out of control. Kawhi Leonard might be the league leader, much in the same way Tim Duncan was, in dunks that they don't do in their dunks the cockback, right? Like, they don't pull that thing all the way back at some severe angle. It's going straight up and straight down. But make no mistake, there is still plenty of thunder brought in that instance there. For as much credit as we're going to give Paul George at some point during the show, and I promise it's going to happen because I have played off peed that guy enough in public to probably owe him credit when he goes out and does what he did last night, which is not only put up 30 again alongside Kawhi Leonard, but do it in some pretty key moments down the stretch when it looked like Utah was going to force the Clippers to do what we usually think the Clippers do and give up the goods on that. But that Kawhi Leonard dunk was so powerful, so forceful, and honestly just stopped the show for all of us here, that it wasn't just me in it that was reacting like this. Like, Joel Embiid played a basketball game last night, looked like he was hurting pretty good in that basketball game, and still in the post-game press conference found a way and found it in him to have the same reaction the rest of us did. Oh my God, how did that just happen? Take a listen.
I just felt like I didn't have it tonight. And of course you can kind of, oh my God. See that dunk?
That's it, Jim. Thank you, Jim.
See that Kawhi dunk? Oh, it's crazy. Man. Wow.
That is a professional space alien. Joel Embiid. If you were, like, we always do, like, I hear everyone always do the, you know, who would you bring the space aliens conversation. Joel Embiid is one of the space aliens. The things he does at that size and in the way he moves are not of this world. And so for that guy to be sitting there and stop everything he is doing in a moment where he's probably not feeling great, because if anyone watched the Sixers last night, man, you saw Joel Embiid going through it. Like 0 for 12 in the second half, one of the worst playoff performances we've ever seen in that regard, going through it last night. And he was still dumbstruck by this one. Just in case anyone still thinks dunks are only worth 2 points here, Joel Embiid doesn't stop the press conference for layups. Now, this is going to be the interesting part, because Joel Embiid's reaction, the reason that we mentioned that somber tone, is because of what we saw in the second half. Like, the balance of, and like, I know our inclination is always to do the extremely takey thing, but look around what we've been through in the Eastern Conference playoffs so far. We're spending all day right now waiting to find out if James Harden, 10 days removed from rehabbing a hamstring that had him miss 20 games in the regular season, is going to be able to go in game 5 of that series. We watched Donovan Mitchell in that game against the Clippers that we're talking about, clearly still laboring with his lower leg injury that he's dealt with. Kawhi Leonard is almost never fully healthy. That's why they're load managing the hell out of him in most seasons. And then we get to Joel Embiid, though, because you look around the Eastern Conference, and again, the Bucks have evened this series at 2 apiece. The Nets on the other side are just trying to figure out who the hell is going to be on the court. The 76ers going into this series against the Hawks, once we got to the last quarter of game 1, I said, okay, that looks like the team. Bigger, faster, stronger, going to go out, and bigger, faster, stronger, the Hawks off the court. And they were mere moments from going up 3-1 in this series. Jumped out to a big 18-point lead at one point early in the first half, did the 76ers, and then a funny thing happened. The Hawks trailed by 13 at halftime. It's their largest halftime deficit overcome in the playoffs since Game 4 of the 1963 Division Finals against the Los Angeles Lakers. The Hawks had 4 turnovers in the second half. The Hawks had 21 second chance points last night. You combine that all courtesy of ESPN Stats and Information, by the way. You combine that with Joel Embiid going 0-for-12 in the second half. And you heard him talk about it. Joel Embiid had the play drawn up for him in the final play of that game. And as Ben Simmons disappeared in the second half, Joel Embiid said it. I didn't have the lift. I didn't have the push off that knee that's been giving him trouble that we knew came into this series with that slightly torn meniscus. 39 and 40 points in games 1 and 2. We thought it was behind us. But what we saw now in game 4 was the war of attrition starting to take hold. Because again, Joel Embiid pulled down a bunch of rebounds. Defensively was still super effective in some ways. But 0 for 12 in that half was tired legs. And the rest of that Philadelphia team takes its cues from him. Everyone involved takes their cues from him. And so now we ask the question, and we went through all of this with the idea that odds-wise, the Brooklyn Nets, because of injury, aren't even favored right now to get out of this series, and they're still the favorite to win the NBA Finals. That's how confusing the Eastern Conference is at this point in time. And so if you're telling me now, Joel Embiid and this knee aren't the most important factor in the Eastern Conference playoffs at this time. Because, man, if Joel's healthy, they look like they might be able to beat anybody, especially this beat-up Brooklyn team, because they came in with this in mind. But now you look at Joel Embiid and say, he's not going to get – I still think they're going to win this series. I said Sixers and 7 before the series, and it's looking increasingly more like it's going to get to that point. But at the very least, it's going to take 6 now, tied 2 apiece. And so Joel Embiid is not going to get the exact thing on the other side in the Western Conference that someone like Chris Paul is going to get. Chris Paul, whose shoulder was the defining injury of the first round of the NBA playoffs. The most important factor in that series, we kept saying it until Anthony Davis's groin crept in. And even then, we still watched Chris Paul grimace, wondered if the Suns were going to have enough if he wasn't able to go in that way. Chris Paul and the Phoenix Suns swept the Nuggets in 4. Now he gets to rest. Now they get to wait and watch Utah and the Clippers beat up on each other and take whoever comes next. And that's still going to be a tough matchup. But that's exactly the kind of thing Joel Embiid could have used. And that's now exactly what he's not going to get before he goes from one juggernaut series to another, depending how it shakes out. Because if Brooklyn comes out, the reason they're favored to win the final still is because we assume that would take one of their stars getting back on the court in a meaningful way, one of them being ready to go. And now Joel Embiid and the Sixers have lost that opportunity. And for Joel Embiid, he's a big guy. We know he's taken great lengths, gone through great lengths to try and work within his limitations and still go out there and ball for them in the ways they need. But as you start to watch, I keep hoping that it's certainly going to not be enough to take him off the court. But at the same time, we see this is only going to decline more. The time between games is going to continue to not be enough for him right now through this series. And then what do we get after that when you lose the benefit of all that rest? I think it's a much more difficult road and one that completely swings. What looked like it was laid out in the silver platter for the Sixers in games 1 and 2 now looks like this all might be tilting in favor of the Milwaukee Bucks. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Coming up next, though, we will head out to someone who knows these Brooklyn Nets very well and find out if this is going to just be too much too late in the season for what we thought was the best team in basketball to overcome here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Baseball trying to fix the sticky stuff. We got a memo going around here. We'll try and see if anything can cover up the stench right now. And I have a feeling it is someone or something with the last name Junior. That seems to be something you can count on in Major League Baseball. Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And that's where we head now to talk to our next guest, because if I have been stressed out by the sheer volume of Nets news surrounding their star James Harden, is he doubtful? Is he questionable? Is he hopeful? As Adrian Wojnarowski has been reporting throughout the day, I can only imagine how Ryan Rucco feels. Our ESPN play-by-play announcer also does great work for the Yes Network. Because Ryan, you tweeted about 3 hours ago, tonight's the biggest game the Nets have played since the move to the Barclays Center, and it feels like it is as volatile a situation as we've been. So what's the last 24 hours been like from your perspective, and really the perspective in New York as we wait for what could be the biggest game?
Yeah, man, it's crazy because, you know, it's just a player that has such a ridiculous impact, right? It's not like James Harden's availability has, you know, a minor impact on how you feel about this game. It has a monumental impact on how you feel about the results of this game. And while I feel like the Nets are capable of winning a home game in this series without Harden or Kyrie, because they do have Durant and they do have a lot of very, you know, solid role players, and role players play better at home. And we have seen them play terrific basketball at home in these playoffs, and especially in this series. There is no denying that having James Harden and him actually being able to play like James Harden completely changes your fortunes tonight. I mean, the one thing I tried to get across to people when talking about James Harden is, if you watch the Nets all season, it was very clear that the player who had the greatest impact on winning or losing for this Nets team was James Harden. And that's not, you know, shade to Kyrie Irving or to Kevin Durant, who are, you know, basically impenetrable when it comes to shade at this point with what they've accomplished in their careers. It's just a credit to James Harden and how influential he is on this roster. Nicholas Claxton, Bruce Brown, Landry Shamet, all of these guys are elevated versions of themselves when James Harden's on the floor. So, I mean, it has been wild to kind of go through the motions of, okay, he's definitely not there, to, oh my gosh, maybe, to, all right, to, it seems like there's more of a chance he is than isn't at this point.
And Ryan, we heard from Steve Nash after the injury to Kyrie Irving in Game 4 that timeline wouldn't influence James Harden's timeline. But ever since then, this has been a rocket. So how do you think we got to that? Is this the team pushing? Is this Harden pushing? Where do you think this comes from?
No, I think this is Harden. Without knowing for sure, I think this is, and without having insider knowledge of this particular situation, I think that this is probably Harden pushing. You know, the Nets have an incredible medical staff and performance team. And I think part of the reason they became so attractive to stars like Durant and like Irving, and then, you know, to Harden afterwards, is because they have a very, very player first focused culture and system in Brooklyn. Everything they do, you know, every expense that, you know, we see from Joe Tsai and every decision from Sean Marks is with the intent of having an incredibly player-focused culture in Brooklyn. And part of that is also caring for the player physically and mentally, but in this case physically, even when it means something is really at stake for the team, right? And wanting to make sure the player knows, hey, we care first and foremost about you being okay and you being healthy. And so I don't think the performance team is going to, you know, rush anything when it comes to James Harden. What I do think is they may be able to gauge, like, okay, how much of a risk is this? Is this something that can be pushed a bit? Yes, all right, this is okay. Hey, Sean, we feel all right with this because of this test and this test and this test, and kind of going about it that way. But I don't think it's going to be the Nets pushing and saying, like, hey, we need you on the floor, man. I think it's going to be the Nets instead saying, like, let's make sure, James, we understand you want to play, but we're only going to clear it if we, you know, have you hit this marker and this marker and this marker, where we actually feel like you could get on the floor and not re-injure yourself.
Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. talking to ESPN and Yes Network play-by-play announcer Ryan Rucco with us, getting ready for what's going to happen with James Harden, the Brooklyn Nets, and this hamstring tonight. But, Ryan, I want to go back to what you said about James Harden, because I'm with you. I think he is the most impactful based on his skill set, based on the way we know he plays, being a distributor as well as an incredibly potent scorer. If it comes down to it at some point, because we're certainly all hopeful now, we're all trying to see if James Harden can make this happen. But the thought was, Kevin Durant might have to do this on his own. I think he's the best basketball player, especially the best pure scorer on this team, but I understand it's different skill sets. Based on what you've seen, watching this team this year, watching Kevin Durant, how capable do you think he'd be of going out and being able to shoulder this load by himself, knowing the rest of the roster that you mentioned, not as deep with stars, not as deep with the quality at that top end as it is with guys that step up and support in their specific roles when asked to?
Yeah, I think you broke that down perfectly, Mike. And I think that, you know, the thing you would lack, you know, with not having had Spencer Dinwiddie all season and now not having Kyrie, and if you didn't have Harden, you know, regardless of Durant and his incredible abilities, the thing you lack is somebody who can constantly break down the defense, right? Somebody who's going to give you consistent dribble penetration. You know, the Nets just are down their three main pieces who give you that if they also don't have Harden tonight. And that's not the number one thing Kevin Durant does. We know that. That doesn't mean that he's not the best player on the team or the best offensive player in the league. It just means that is not the feature of his skill set. But what he can do is, you know, hit any shot at any moment, no matter how he's being defended. And I think Greeny talked about this earlier on ESPN Radio, and I think he was on the money. I think that this particular game, we also can probably expect, just because this is the way these things normally happen, that Kevin Durant is going to get calls that he did not get in Milwaukee when, you know, P.J. Tucker was allowed to be incredibly physical with him. And so I think Durant is capable of it for sure, because Durant is capable of putting up 25 shots and hitting 18 of them and not breaking a sweat, right? He's very capable of having a 40-point game on 65% shooting. But I think the key, if it's just Durant, is him getting everybody else involved. You can't see what you saw in game four, where the Nets get of one mind, where Durant is trying to get his shot no matter what. They have to be able to still move the ball, because if you can get Joe Harris open shots from three, if you can get Landry Shamet open shots from three, even if you're getting them from Jeff Green and Blake Griffin, who Brook Lopez can't go out and defend, you are going to have enough looks to supplement the scoring of Durant. And Durant's a great passer. So I think the key is not getting of one mind. Yes, okay, maybe you're going to be a little extra aggressive, but still play with the unselfish nature. That's something I've come to appreciate even more from Durant, having watched him even more closely this year in Brooklyn, even as someone who's watched him, you know, closely in years past.
For all the things we're watching for, waiting for, and listening for tonight, the one phrase, you're right, I am ready to hear is P.J. Tucker early foul trouble in tonight's game for the Nets and Bucks. Guys, make sure you follow him on Twitter, at Ryan Rucco. Check him out. Always doing great work on play-by-play for us and the fellas over at the Next Yes Network. Rucco, we appreciate it, buddy. Enjoy the game tonight. Should be a good one.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mike. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man.
Awesome stuff, as always, from Ryan Rucco, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Coming up next, though, want to shift gears, because we've talked so much this week about expansion in college football, even going back into last week, that proposed 12-game expansion. Coming up next, we need to get to the other conversation that I think could be just as much, if not more impactful, on where we go with college football from this moment on. We'll get to that after this word from Indeed. Now, the good news is, your business has doubled. Congratulations. Good for you. You did a great job. Now, the even better news is Indeed is going to help you hire the right people without the wait times of the typical recruiting process. This is because Indeed is a great hiring platform where you can make calls, schedule virtual interviews, and talk to candidates over video, all right from your easy-to-use employer dashboard. It's just another reason that Indeed delivers four times more hires than all the other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. You can find your next great hire at Indeed.com/credit. What we need to do even more than expand in college football, next on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
No one wants to talk about expansion. From the moment we got four teams in a college football playoff, it was never enough. People were always pushing for more. And now that we're on the cusp of getting it, I think it's time to draw attention to one other aspect that's missing in college football right now. The one thing that all of us can control, fans, media, and everyone in between. It's Chene and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr. with you guys, Chene Agwumike, as always, going to join us in the next hour here on the show. Our thanks to Ryan Rucco, also ESPN and Yes Network play-by-play announcer, for joining us as we continue to try and figure out what the hell is going to happen with James Harden. But in the meantime, we also do have to give you a brief update before I get to the way that we can all improve our college football experience. Because college football is important to me. As someone who played it, as someone who is a part of broadcasting it in a lot of different ways now, I've seen something growing, and I mentioned this fall, and Nicole Arbuckle at The Athletic is shining a light on something that I think we can all do better. But first, this MLB Weekend Recap is brought to you by Credit Karma. Visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Credit Karma money, progress starts here. And from Jeff Passan, our ESPN MLB insider, a memo was sent out to Major League Baseball team, because you remember spider tack, all this sticky stuff we were dealing with, pitchers using on the baseball, doctoring on the baseball. Saw Paul Hembachides, some of you on ESPN Plus may have seen this running during our commercials. Paul Hembachides, the Greek god of stats, earlier today on Greeny, had some of the spider tack actually with him and stuck a baseball to his fingers and just let it hang there like that. Like, I know people love to go sideways on NFL receivers and the gloves they wear, but this was at a different level. And so the memo got sent out after we saw record lows across Major League Baseball in batting average, record numbers of strikeouts, all these things that are making the game more low scoring, less exciting, all the things down the list. Here's the memo that went out. The foreign substance memo, detailed on ESPN last night, has two parts in the Major League release that stand out. One, pitchers are responsible even if their teammates load up the ball. So this kind of sounds a lot like the whole Deflategate issue, where maybe you don't specifically handle the balls before they come out, but it is still your responsibility as the pitcher. And then, teams can't replace suspended players, which makes the 10-game penalty even harsher. Pitchers found using this substance will be suspended 10 games, and they can't be replaced. And this was always the beef we had about suspensions for pitchers who throw at players, is it was never enough. It didn't have enough teeth to actually make an impact on this. It seems now Major League Baseball is going to try and at least take this a little bit further in the way they punish these teams, because now this has become a very public spectacle. It went from, as we saw with our friends over at the Yankees, who didn't quite have great answers for everything in here, Garrett Cole stuttering all over himself, that the questions weren't going to go away. And so Major League Baseball at least trying to do something about this right now. Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. So Major League Baseball is trying to figure out that out right now. College football has been trying to figure out, do some soul searching this offseason as well. We heard last week about the proposal to expand the college football playoff to 12 teams. And that's certainly an important part of the conversation, has been how do we include more teams in the college football playoff, because that's the biggest conversation in sports. But is that too dominant? Nicole Arbuckle over at The Athletic, who you guys have heard on this show a bunch of times, does a great job covering college football for them, wrote an article about how us at ESPN, and this is, I only feel comfortable bringing this up because Lee Fitting, who's one of the great bosses here for the world of college football, Reese Davis and others, talked openly about this, and I thought we're pretty honest and candid about where we go in the next part, because as much as we want to expand the playoff and think that that's going to fix all our ills, it's not. It's going to include more teams in a conversation that Lee and others said probably could do better. To look at this, Lee Fitting, again, one of our ESPN senior vice president of production overseeing college football, said it's time to take a little reset as far as we're concerned. Obviously, the playoff needs to remain a priority for the sport and for the business, but at the same time, I'm worried we've gone a little too far away from what makes college football great, and that is that there's something in every game for fans out there. It's not just the top four, five, six, or seven teams who are playing for something, and I think that is huge because, again, I think the expansion of the playoff is about the illusion of a chance, the illusion of parity that teams would actually have a shot at the title. But at the very least, it forces us to include more teams in the conversation. And I think that's something that, listen, my role in all of this, as someone who's got a national radio show, is someone who calls college football games, who does a Tuesday night ranking show, a digital rankings show about this, can do better on. And we all can, because championship or bust is kind of the mentality that's seeped into every sport at this point in time. But college football is unique. It's a little like baseball in the fact that it is a regional sport masquerading successfully in this case as a national sport because it's football and because we crave it. But we could all take stock in this and figure out and remember that there are things outside of championships that are important in every college football season. Whether it's the rivalries, traditions, just the individual games themselves give us so much. I thought this was great to hear people saying out loud what I felt for a while. We need to all take stock of our role in this because expansion's only going to be able to help so much. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN if you want to get in touch with us on the Goodyear hotline. But coming up next, the brands around the NBA playoffs aren't quite the same right now. As we wait for one key player, do we have to take stock of the whole thing? Next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.